Win £50,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. It's Fridays with Fran and Fran Berry. I guess I'm back, having been away. So the first question, and I know it's been asked a lot, how was your Christmas? Are we still talking about Christmas?
Why not, PK? What are we, second week in January? Yeah, good to see you back.
Thanks.
Kept abreast of your progress on Twitter and everything. It looked like you had a very good time and the weather was a lot better there than it was here. And currently you're back to reality because it's pretty crap outside, isn't it?
It's not great. Yeah. Like I remember going to Australia for the first time for Christmas a few years ago and I thought, warm Christmas is a bit weird. not for me. It's brilliant. It really, really was brilliant. And, you know, 8 o'clock pints in the sun. Playing. Have you ever done the barefoot bowls? There's one now. That's great.
Really?
Yeah. It's like lawn bowls, but you can't wear your shoes because you wreck the lawn. So basically you're doing it in bare feet and you're drinking beers and it's just great crack. It's really good fun.
Sounds good. Yeah. Could be another Paddy Power quiz game maybe. Yeah.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Were you in an ice bath recently? Did you get in the ice bath?
I was. Yes. Yeah. Pretty easy. Poor old David Jennings struggled with it, but
did he?
Yeah.
With all his insulation and everything.
I know. Soft. He's from Mead, you see, can't help it.
Shots fired. Right. I saw, and big thanks to Tom for taking over while I was gone. How'd you get on, Tom? He's a nice lad, isn't he?
Tom's a legend and had a great time on the pods. And we did the Paddy Power preview tent before racing the day 4 Leopardstown. We're finished 11:40 and we had our first pint at 11:45 and we parked off for the day and had a good chat and good crack. So yeah, it was good. Good way to finish off to Christmas after 3 days of Limerick, and that was kind of it until now. Yeah,
brilliant. And I heard rumours of 50-1 winner for Ambury. Where was this?
It was a good way to kick off the year now. First Wednesday up Dundalk, just took a swing at one. Thought it was overpriced at 50-1. It returned 25s, but at least mentioned a pre-race, backed it, and kick off the year with a winner like that. So we're all good, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Right. Well, hopefully we get another one tomorrow or today if you're listening on the Friday. Before we get cracking into Dundalk and all things racing, just a few bits to mention ahead of Friday. Our usual pod is back. Rory and Ruby back looking ahead to the weekend. Kempton and Warwick, the 2-star meetings, but also really good action in Ireland, including the Moscow Flyers. So we're looking at that. And a lot of people have been asking, the turn of the year has come, for when is the Cheltenham Countdown back as part of the From the Horse's Mouth? I'm delighted to say it is back next week. We are going to record on Monday. But thanks a million, producer Mark, because I had a very good Christmas and I put on probably about a stone. He's told us that this one's going to be on television. We're going to be recording in front of cameras and it will be available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. So please do subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and you'll be able to watch, unfortunately, the size of me, but also you'll be able to hear from the likes of Rory and Ruby as we go through the Cheltenham races. So that begins on Monday. We'll record on Monday morning and we'll get it out as soon as we possibly can. And hopefully and that will also be a podcast as well as live on the television via YouTube. So that's great. Looking forward to that. All right, Fran, let's get as per usual, we're going to talk about Dundalk races and we're going to talk about the world of racing as well in between. But we're going to kick off with a winner at Dundalk in the opening race, 3:55. My God, it is an early start. Apprentice handicap. This is the time of year where the top jockeys aren't allowed. Right. I know this is an apprentice race, but basically there'll be no jockey who's ridden more than 20 winners at this meeting. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Trey. For the first 3 weeks in January, gives, you know, riders that have had a quiet year a chance to kick off 2023 and get a few winners and a bit of momentum. And very competitive race kickoff things, PK. There's a lot of horses you can make a case for, particularly at the top of the weights. The key race, probably the 7th of December, you've got Watharm, Adam Maris, Burnsong, and Big Kitten, who all reoppose here tonight after running that 10 furlong handicap. Of that quartet, I think Burnsong is really interesting, stepping up and trip. Was a big eye catcher here last year when catching the attention of the stewards, and was a good winner at Cork, and has lightly raced into flat. Ran really well over Hurlsman, second also in Maiden Hurl in July, and it should be all the better for that recent comeback run. What harm, number one, is dropping right down to ratings, but I don't think a mile and a half will see him at his best. I think a mile and a quarter max is his best trip, and he's maybe best watch here on this occasion for all that he has caught the eye to a point on a couple of occasions. And number nine, Wajaha and Mads Black Aid, number 11, are both two to be concentrated on. Mads Black Aid has been run really well in recent starts, but again, I think a mile and a half exposes her somewhat, and I'm happy enough to watch her. Particularly, Jay Cohn's a good backup, but Sam Ewing seems to get a really good tune out of his filly. He can't do the weight on this occasion. And number 10, Efrinoc Fizz is possibly a standout here. Since switching to Keane Collins, she's improved out of all recognition. Of course, she won the Welsh champion Hurley Foss last in great style. Just got beat at Cheltenham to Dad's Lad. That was in late October. She's run really well on a couple of occasions on the all weather. And given the way she's improved for her current stable, switching back to the flat, I think there's upside off of car mark of 69. It's £5 lower than her turf mark. And I think with the makeup of the race, she's the one to be concentrating on.
Number 10, Efrinoc Fizz. That's the 3:55. It's the first of quite a few extra place races. We're going to do that in the 5 o'clock, 5:30, 7 and 7:30 as well. And if you're in a penny pair shop, you'll get money back if you're second or third instead of that extra place in that 3:55. Now, I've got a New Year's resolution, Fran. It's to not look at the irishracing.com tissue prices. what price do you think you might get on Efrinoc Fizz? Have a guess.
With the extra place, I'd love to get 6, 7, 8, 1, but say...
Okay.
She won't be that, will she? She'll be 92.
She's double figures on the irishracing.com.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's all I'll say. She's double figures on the irishracing.com tissue price. Whoever has done that price is looking. Did you do the prices for this week?
I wouldn't mind getting my hands on a bookmaker's price and get them out there, to be honest. But anyway.
I remember years ago, and this is a long time ago, walking into an independent when I was probably too young to be betting. And the fellow behind the counter did lay me an anti-post price based on the Racing Post. I think it was almost like a guess anti-post. And he was like, yeah, that's grand. I'm like, whoa, those days are gone, I'd say.
Yeah, there was a great story doing the rounds. It still does the rounds. CKR Radio was the local Carlow Kildare radio at the time. And still is going, of course, KFM it is now. But they used to do live commentaries from the evening meetings, but a couple of shrewd fellas copped on that if the 7 o'clock news is on, they'd play the 7 o'clock race out 5 minutes behind schedule. There was an independent bookie or two down in the Carlow area that used to pre-internet use the results off the CKR commentary to mark up the results. So effectively, lads were betting 5 minutes ahead of themselves. So I think they had a really good run for a summer at least. And
They got a summer out of it. Jeez, fair play to them.
So every time there was a 7 o'clock race, 6 o'clock, 6:30, it was like just free money.
Oh my word. Well, if only, all the accounts are running the day, running it now, we'd never get away with such things. And that's the first, right? Efrinoc Fizz, hopefully an each way price in that extra place race. We will talk about the 4:30 and then we'll look ahead to other things in the racing world. The 4:30 is a maiden for 4-year-olds and upwards. I'm looking at the tissue here. Rockview consort, Livia Celeste, Celador. Now, I remember you were pretty keen on Celador, one of Joseph's two previously. Am I right in saying that? A cheek piece for the first time today?
Yeah, look, Celador fell into trap three or four starts ago. I just thought maybe back up and trip with the blinkers on and Declan McDonough, she could do enough to win. She didn't. And look, she's been running perfectly fine over a mile in her last two starts. No doubt she's got the ability to win, but she's very tricky in the finish. She gets her head in the air, actually pricks her ears inside the final furlong when asked for an effort. Cheap pieces off, blinkers off, cheap piece on, trying to, you know, do something different. And it's very, very possible that Celador could run better for an inexperienced rider like Conor Stone Walsh than a senior rider to a point, but she's not reliable. And Rockview Consort, number 12, is more consistent, more likeable individual, and probably should have won Rockview Consort last time. Just showed a tendency to hang left at a vital stage in between runners. When Siobhan Rutledge got her strain out, she ran on really well, not quite getting there, but with a clear run, I think Rockview Concert can uphold form at Celador from that run back in December, or back in November, excuse me. And with all things being equal, she's got the overall stronger form, a better steer, more straightforward, and she'll be hard to beat. Number 10, Marfalosa, would probably be third favourite in the market. I still think that she is a grass filly on soft ground and is opposable here, but Rockview Concert is a pretty confident selection.
Fair enough. A Rockview Concert for Siobhan Rutledge and John McConnell, of course, goes well, both at Dundalk and over at Cheltenham. We will turn our attentions to the weekend racing, and it's an okay weekend in the UK, nothing major, but there is a couple of eye-catching races at the weekend in Ireland, particularly the Moscow Flyer, I suppose. Fran, I did ask to look ahead to the Ferry House card and Punch of Stand and everything else, and the first horse you mentioned is entered on Monday.
If you were listening to the previous podcast, I gave a couple of eye catchers from Christmas, not the obvious ones, PK. What I seen that are future winners at a lower level, like everyone's looking at the good horses over Christmas, but one of them is Tets of Tony Martin's, THETYS, a French filly by Camelot, caught the eye in the Curra on her only flat start to date, and was a big eye catcher on handicap debut at Limerick when I was down there over the Christmas. She's only had 5 or 6 runs to date, and she's in an amateur handicap for horse rate up to 110 on Monday. That's the 1:20 p.m. race at Punchestown. Think she's ready to win and is an obvious Tony Martin trained improver. Mm-hmm. One negative perhaps is that Limerick is very deep ground, and often a horse to come out of there don't back up their run at Christmas time with a quick turnaround. Don't think she's the hardest race in the day though, and I think she's very well handicapped, and I might go to Punchestown on Monday for an hour just to get a look at her in the ring pre-race.
Nice. Yeah, it's a tricky one to pronounce. Yeah, Thetis, THETYS, could be at Tony Martin 4-year-old, and interesting if declared. We'll keep an eye out for it. That's in the JT McNamara Series Qualified Riders Handicap Hurdle. Obviously keep an eye on the jockey booking as well. What about the Moscow Flyer and other things this weekend? What do you got for us?
Yeah, the Dan Moore is always a race I love to watch. That 2 mile start at Ferry House, you know, the rattle down over the first couple of fences. Not as big a field as normal, only 12 runners, but Kay Boy is quite short in the betting, quite shorter than I would have expected in the betting. He's currently 7-4, but if he jumped last time at this track, he probably would have won. Silver Class reopposes whom won that race on that occasion, and you know, you'd have to respect him. Mount Leinster has a very good record at this track, winning it back at Ferry House at Easter. But K-Boy looks very well handicapped with a clear round, but I was expecting his price to be a bit bigger than what it is. And a horse we mentioned from last week's pod as well, PK, the first race, Cracking Three-Year-Old Hurl on Saturday at Ferry House. Going to be a lot of clues there, I think, for the Fred Winter in particular. Blood Destiny was very impressed when winning at Cork, and Common Practice could be one a horse for the Fred Winter, along with Jazzy Matty with Davy Russell, who we'll speak about in a second. But Paradise Lost, big eye catcher on hurling debut at Limerick, won't be good enough here, but he's definitely a horse to keep an eye on with a view to the future. And you mentioned Sunday, that Moscow Flyer race, that's a cracking race, isn't it? It's going to be really, really good if they all stand their ground. And last year, that horse of Willie's won it. Was of course Dice Art Dynamo, who won really well over fences recently. Impera Passe, very, very impressive winning on stable debut and in Nace late December. He could be anything, and he's one I'd be excited to see back out in greater company.
Yeah, he's 2-5 in the Antipost market as we record on Thursday morning. So that would suggest he's going to be the one for Willie Mullins who wins this race every year. Might suggest that maybe he's going to stay at 2 miles. I know Willie was talking maybe going for the Ballymore, but if he wins this, I'd imagine they'll stick to 2. That's what did the Dice Art last year, wasn't it? So
yeah, exactly. And I suppose the next 3 weeks, Dublin Racing Festival, how this horse performs over 2 miles will decide a lot of what Willie's going to do with his novice hurlers as regards two miles and 2 miles 5. But he looked quite special when he won in this.
Yeah, he won this race with Duvan as well, didn't he? And as well as, he's done well. You're right, we're going to talk about Davy Russell, who's creating plenty of news stories. He does ride twice at Ferry House on Saturday, surprisingly, given he retired. But let's get a winner at Dundalk before we go back to Davy. The 5 o'clock is the View Restaurant Dundalk Apprentice Handicap. 7 furlongs, Pub Talk, the top weight, James Ryan for James McCauley, going to be, I would imagine, fancied because quite consistent, a couple of runner-up efforts. Dr. Grace, Monophonic. Now, Monophonic's form ties in quite closely to Pub Talk on handicap debut for Gerard Lyons, but that was one that caught my eye. Where were you looking?
Yeah, look, Monophonic is definitely interesting off Mark 65. Has shaped well in all runs to date without improving, if you like. You'd have to give her a chance, but I think she's, you know, 65, she's only okay in the handicap ratings and ability wise. You have Dr. Grace from, excuse me, Dr. Grace trained by Mick Halford, big improvement when stepping up to this trip last time. Was trapped wide throughout, but ran on really well to be second. Lots to like about that, and off a rating of 54 is very interesting. Didn't look all that straightforward under pressure, ran left and right, and probably could be, if you like, better with headgear and time. And for that reason, I'm going to look elsewhere. Pub Talk, Lizzo are well matched in last week's running over 5 furlongs. And Johnny Murtagh's got 2 that could improve for the recent run. Malachan ran home really well ahead of stable companion Lake Illawarra. And in under normal circumstances, be quite keen on Malachan and Dr. Grace. But there's one standout down at the bottom. Number 12, Dapple Light, trained by John Murphy. Really big eye catch on handicap debut and polytrack debut, went up to a mile here 9 days ago. Ran home really well late on, went on the wrong part of the track on the inside, was quite green off the bridle early, albeit over a mile. But the last furlong, when the penny began to drop, he ran home strongly. He looked quite big in the parade ring pre-race. He'd not run since the end of October. And with normal improvement, he's got to sharpen up a bit to drop back a furlong and trip, but with normal improvement from that run, I think that Light off market 51. Alan Purse takes off £2, 8 stone 5. He's going to be very hard to beat.
Ooh, I smell a nap there on Dapple Light. Reveal that later on, but Dapple Light, number 10 on the card in the 5 o'clock. Right, Davy Russell, retired and then out of retirement. I believe we did actually offer a price on him coming out of retirement, and it didn't last very long. Are you surprised, Fanbury, that he's come out of retirement?
With Davy Russell, you can never be surprised, can you? It's no. You know, it's like the last chapter of the book or the last part of the film. You couldn't write the script, could you? It's he surprised us in December when he retired, you know, a week ahead of the busy Christmas schedule, Leopardstown, Limerick. You know, he maybe could have went to Limerick and rode Jerry Colomb in that grade one, who knows? But he pulled off stumps in Turles, and look, he's riding to his last ride. He's riding as good as ever. You know, he's a big ass to have. When you stop to go back 3 weeks later, okay, Jack Kennedy, terrible thing to happen. Gordon's got a big void there at the minute. But yeah, it's a surprise. It is a surprise, because my view is when you're done, you're done. But it's Davy Russell, and it's going to light up the next couple of months. Dublin Racing Festival, him riding for Gordon. No Jack Kennedy, unfortunately. But yeah, it's another twist in the tail. And, you know, he's going to have Delta work, I suppose. Could be an Irish banker, if you like, in the cross-country chase at Cheltenham. You know, won it last year, beat Tiger Roller Course, and haven't seen him since then. But yeah, it's fascinating. It's going to be really good watching for the next 2 months.
Interesting 24, 48 hours for Jordan Gainford, I'd say. I'm sure Jordan, look, I don't know Jordan from Adam, but I'm sure he'd be gutted for Jack, as everyone is. I mean, 5 times break your leg, that's just ridiculous. But obviously Jordan will probably be thinking, oh cool, I might get a few decent rides here now between now and Cheltenham. I might have a, and then 24 hours later, David says, hurdle kid.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting one for Jordan Gainford and Sam Ewing. When Ruby Walsh is out, Paul Talman was only 19 and he got to bulk of the Willie Mullins rides. You know, they thought they'd promote him internally to bring him back. I know Davey's retired, but Jordan has ridden a Group 1 winner, a Grade 1 winner at Christmas, Jerry Colomb, gave him a very good ride. He's an improving young rider, obviously riding Hewick, getting plenty of experience with him. And Sam Ewing maybe doesn't have that breadth of experience as Jordan Gainford, but he's going to be a big star in the future. And when are you going to promote them? You know, that's the thing. Like, you know, there comes a time that they got to step forward and take it. But Gordon obviously feels that he needs Davy for the next 2 months.
Yeah, which is fair enough. Look, ahead of this chat,
or Davy feels that Gordon needs him.
I think Davy definitely feels that. If you haven't listened to the off the ball interview with Joe Beloy, I'd listen to it. It's a good hour long chat with Davy Russell about his retirement. It's all completely irrelevant now, but anyway, it's a very good chat.
It's like one of these Rocky movies, isn't it? It's kind of
like Muhammad Ali, Rocky, you name it. What, George Foreman, didn't he come out of tournament about 6 times as well? Before this chat, I said, oh, Fran, we'll have to chat about Davy Russell. So I said, I'm just trying to remind myself why you retired. And it was a neck injury, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
A neck injury. So I went, classic research. This is I'll go on to Fran Berry's Wikipedia page. And there's an excellent line here, Fran. You can tell us, Wikipedia is true, yeah? It's always true.
I need to get a ghostwriter for my page. Yeah, I think it's not really factual.
One thing that stood out for me, in 2016, Fran moved to Britain to become stable jockey for Ralph Beckett, or Rafe Beckett. But we're good so far?
Yeah, okay, you're on the ball.
An association which lasted until Berry, and the next is in inverted commas, left by mutual consent. And then the next five words are, when he was relieved of the role. I don't know how you could leave by mutual consent and also be relieved of the role. That was in June 2017. So that's all correct, yeah?
No, definitely not. We hadn't spoken for about 2 weeks prior to that anyway. So he stopped answering the phone to me. So I think the writing was on the wall, yeah?
Sounds mutual to me.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, let's go back to Dundalk and talk about the two-miler Jofa at 5:30. Obviously, a lot of these horses will probably be jumps horses in the future, but nonetheless, some of them already are. Looking at the probable favourites here, V Dancer for Ronan McNally, of course, there's lots of stories in the press about him at the moment. He was at 3 wins in a row over hurdles, then very easy to back, and a couple of flat runs, or certainly his last or penultimate flat run. I mean, it's got to surround him. If he goes off a 6-4, we're all in. If he's 10-1, leave him alone.
If he's 10-1, he may as well be 100-1, isn't it? You know, yeah. So it's V Dancer is the one that you have to start with. Thought he shaped very well on ground, and maybe is testing as he wants at Killarney over an inadequate trip. That was back in October when he made his ground down towards the inside. Not the best part of track on the day to be on either. And off the pound's lower mark, he's the one you got to watch. Stable, of course, had a winner pre-Christmas with the Real Deal winning up there in great style. So look, he's one that you have to keep on side, and you got to be wary of Conor Stonewalsh. Nice ride to pick off for him. He's got a history of riding loads of winners on the pony circuit, so there's obviously a connection with the McNally team. They're giving their Ronan Sun rides in pony racing as well. Tobes McNally, isn't it? But can't take him into account until I see the market moves and see how it settles down. So we're going to bet without him if you like, PK. And you mentioned a couple of jumpers, Building Bridges. Ran a cracker over a mile and a half here a couple of starts ago. He also ran a cracker at Christmas behind Sam's Choice over 2.5 miles at Leopardstown, where he made much of the running and only gave best inside the final furlong and a half. He could be well handicapped up in distance here. 2 miles around here should suit him better, one would think, than a mile and a half. And you've also well-funded, trained by Owen McCarthy, who ran the same race. Actually, was a bit disappointing. She ran a cracker here when finishing just in front of make the switch, who reopposes again tonight. Well-funded probably had a better run around on that occasion. The pace was quite slow and she kept on well to be second to Chutzpal. That was back in late November. Just thought Make the Switch, with the tempo of the race, was back in mid-division. Had to try and sprint down the straight to chase his rivals, and it didn't suit his style of racing. I think with a more positive ride, Make the Switch can reverse form with Well Funded. I think he's unexposed and he's a winner over hurdles in the past. For me, Make the Switch will be the value here against likes of potentially V Dancer and Building Bridges and Well Funded.
Good night for John McConnell. Sounds like potentially a double on the card. Make the Switch in that 5:30. Remember, we have extra place races. That is one of them. Right, move on to the 6 o'clock. This is a 3-year-old maiden for the Milers. A few newcomers. Eye of Envy, though, probably going to make the mark. It's a tough one to actually try and figure out what is. F. Dern Weld and Dunno O'Connor. You've got Hypnotize Me, Zorana for Johnny Murta in those Aga Khan silks. And Joseph is about 58 runners in the race as well. So where are we going?
Start with Eye of Envy. Decent grass form, shaped with great credit and boat runs to date. And that was a good maiden where she finished fifth at Nace in late August. But given the length of time she's been off the track, I can only watch her until it's here in the ring at least. And just don't seem to hit the ground running the wild horses on the all weather at Dundalk. So I'm happy enough to watch her currently and see how she shapes up. Number 5, Hypnotize Me, did step forward for initial run over 7 furlongs and keeping on quite well late on to be third to a nice filly in Diamonds Forever. She looked quite smart, the winner on that occasion. And down the bottom, we have number 12, one of Joseph O'Brien's runners, Vittoria Kalana, who shaped a mild promise when well backed on debut. And Zarana, number 13, both Zarana 13 and stable companion of Vittoria Colonna, 29 Palms, trained by Joseph Bryan. They were fourth and fifth on the day the race was called off. The only race that was run was this maiden in the fog. Very hard to see it. See how the race developed. You can see a furlong midway through the race and the last 100 yards of the race. So if you give him one a run, it was probably a good day to do it, if you like. But Zarana, plenty of experience, got on the pace then. She's had blinkers on for the last four runs and has ran consistently well. Good drawn stall, won't get up in the pace. But 29 Palms, from the little bit we did see, finish off well, given where she started in the race on midpoint. And she's by American Pharoah. You'd expect on stable debut a lot more improvement to come, and for me 29 Palms would be hard to beat here based on limited video evidence. Albeit,
were you there that day, the day in the fog? No, you weren't.
It was the only Monday I took off. Yes, yeah. we were well, it was a rescheduled meeting and we're filming the Christmas quiz, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now if you were signed double racing TV, would you have been able to charge full rate? Would you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, you missed a trick there. That doing one race and then heading home. Chinese yeah. early. They wouldn't have expected you that early. 2 o'clock.
Chinese lunch.
2 o'clock, Mr. Bray. You're only 6 hours early. So don't worry, lads. We'll have the full buffet. All right. So 29 Palms for Joseph. One of three in the race for Joseph. That is the 6 o'clock. Right. Lots going on in the world of racing at the moment. I did ask you actually for a couple of horses. Maidan is, of course, ongoing at the moment for the flat fans. This is the carnival now. So these are really, really top class horses. And obviously, get off and throw about 50 horses into every race. We've got some excellent group racing on Friday. Anything catch your eye?
Look, it's hard track to make money, if you like, Maidan, in that it's so competitive. You mentioned the Godolphin team are so strong. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have a first string, they usually have three runners in the race that are quite decent. Charlie Appleby, for example, James Doyle had two second string winners last week, and it's that kind of, you know, that kind of a meeting, but it's always exciting to watch. And tomorrow, Wild Beauty in the 3:45 and Ottoman Fleet, both of them are in around even money or shade of odds on. They should be winning as first strings for Charlie Appleby with William Buick on board. But in race 7, very interesting in Sense of Wisdom, James Doyle is on board this apparent second string. She had far better than the Bear Result on a second start at Newmarket. Got buffeted about at a vital stage and finished off really well when the race was over on the July course inside the final 100 yards. Definitely better than his Bear form. He's rated 91. He won well on debut. I'll be keeping a close eye on him. And given he's got a good draw on stall 5, big field, Paddy Power going 5 place in the race, he's definitely one to watch.
He carries the black cap. Is that the third or fourth string?
I go by the jockey book and James Doyle.
Well, that would suggest second string, but the white cap is carried by Electrical Storm, the red cap on First View, and then the black cap Sense of Wisdom. You could go nuts trying to figure this out.
You could. It's something to watch on a Friday afternoon into evening, isn't it?
I tell you what, James Doyle also rides the black cap in his previous ride, so maybe he just doesn't want to change. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Could be the dial cap, yes, yeah. Could well be. But he's definitely one to watch. And, you know, but it's, especially the first 2 to 3 weeks of the carnival, you got to see how things settle down. But that's definitely one to be looking at, yeah.
Yeah, there was a few second string, third string winners for the Appleby Yard. And also, of course, Sidebin Sword as well. So watch out for Wild Beauty.
You don't get many second strings in Australia. You went racing today, did you, New Year's Eve?
I went on Christmas Eve. I went to Moonee Valley, glorified Greyhound Track. Moonee Valley. It is very lucky. The place I was staying, my girlfriend's parents, it's a 20-minute walk to Moonee Valley. So we went there on Christmas Eve and I watched, there was one race where there was 3X Irish horses in it. And then there's a horse who was third in Buzz's Cesarewitch.
Right. Really?
There's, I can't remember which what the name of the horse was, but he was third in Buzz's Cesarewitch. So that was what, 3 years ago? Mm. And he was running over a mile at a furlong. I was like, for God's sake. So I straight away put a line through him. Where does he finish? Staying on second. I was like, Moonee Valley is good. It's actually, they have racing, but it's quite enough after the spring carnival. And then they get going again later in their summer. They call the Autumn Carnival, goes to Sydney, but there's uber money going on at the moment in the Magic Million sale. Jeez, if anyone's following that. Speaking of sales, bit of news while I was gone. That Tattersall's Book One, for those who don't know, this is the marquee sale of horses. Is, you know, you get all these gazillion euro yearlings and pound yearlings and guineas. A chunk of them been sent back because the owner won't pay the money or can't pay the money, as it turns out. £20 million worth of horse flesh. What's happened here, Fran?
Yeah, unfortunately, Mr. Al-Hamazi, I heard on the grapevine, he's an avid listener of this podcast.
Massive.
And we had a bad December, so when the money became due, he couldn't come up with it, unfortunately. But yeah, it's all joking aside, you're probably a little bit surprised that it doesn't happen more often in some occasions. I think you're taking people at the word when they go spending money. Okay, you've got guarantees and whatnot, but he obviously gave a guarantee to every sales company in the world that he had money, and he doesn't have as much maybe as what was thought of. There's talk that he paid Keeneland apparently, but whether that's true or not. But Tattersall's, the fillies in particular, I think will retain their value. You know, a pedigree is a pedigree, and there's always the upsell to that, but they're in pre-training. And, you know, the gloss is somewhat gone off. You're going to take, you know, you're going to have to, unless you let a jockey go in and sit up on them as an owner, that's the only way I could buy one of them.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shambles, isn't it? But and very tough on the underbidders as well. And also very tough on, let's say, someone who was bidding on a horse and your man was bidding against and maybe could have, what's £100,000 to these folks?
Exactly. But it throws everything into disarray, and all them big headlines are, you know, a little bit skew ways. But it's a case of not buyer beware, but sales company beware your buyer, I suppose.
Exactly. But anyway, so some expensive horse flesh available for sale. Just check on the usual websites. We have a go. We'll have a look.
Done deal, is it?
Gumtree. Yeah, that one. I hear Facebook Marketplace is very good. To be fair, actually, my missus bought the horse off Dundee. I think that's a fair, that's a good site now for
really,
a
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So
is
sorry.
Is there many Franklins on it?
she said to me, oh, it's by Yates. I was like, it's by Yates. She's like, yeah, no, the sport horse Yates. I was like, oh, for God's sake, could they not have like changed anyway? different Yates. Speaking of Yates, he's not running at Dundalk, but other horses are. 6:30 is the next race we'll look at. It is another maiden over the mile. News at 10 is probably going to make the market for Michael O'Callaghan, Lee Rocha. See our friend won. What was the name of the one that we both thought was going to hack up in these colours for Lee Roach a few weeks ago? And what was the name of it? Ah, come on.
It was a winner anyway.
But in these connections, producer Mark might remind us. But anyway, he should make the market, news at 10.
Yeah, look, he sets a very good standard on his grass runs to date. He ran really well in debut, and he also shaped very well in his second start at Gorham Park, where he's probably a little bit keen into the first bend, short run to the first bend in Gorham Park over 7 furlongs. And it was only inside the final half a furlong did he give best and lose third late on. That race worked out really well. The winner, So Innocent, the second at Dolce Vita, both rated in the high 90s. Back in fifth was Pivotal Trigger, who's rated in the hundreds. And in sixth was Sierra Blanca. So the overall form of that race, Sierra Blanca's rate 101 now. So the overall form of that race has worked out strongly, and he shaped a plenty of promise. He's been gelded since then. And if he runs the level, anywhere near the level of that run in Gorham Park, he should win here. He shaped very well, as said, on that occasion. The one negative being keen over 7 furlongs, a sharp 7 furlongs, you'd hope with gelding that he can relax over the mile to give himself a chance to finish. He's by Twilight Sun. He's not a stallion I'd be a big fan of, and he's bred to obviously be more of a sprinter than a stayer. But if he relaxes over the mile trip, he should be very hard to beat. Likely Dangers or Jazz Forever, who ran really well at an each way price last time and fading to finish fourth, and Cherokee Run also shaped well in that race. But overall, their form is not good enough to book. Same would apply to him, number 13. And the other interesting horse race really is number 3, Flagstaff Gardens. He's a Frankel colt, and he was withdrawn from the sales, horse and training sales, and he makes debut here now for Joseph Bryan. Is really well bred, but overall form, if Michael O'Callaghan's horse PK runs to anything like that Gorham Park run, News of 10 should win once he relaxes.
King of Scotia.
That's
King
the one.
King of Scotia. That's the one. We were both all in. He was brutal. And of course, he won next time, mate.
He did.
That's for bloody usual. Right. So keep an eye out for News at 10. Flagstaff Gardens. That's in Melbourne, by the way. just in case you're wondering.
Really? Yeah, he's owned by an Australian, funny enough.
Well, yeah, funny enough. Most of his horses are named after places in Melbourne. We'll get to the 7 o'clock. I just want to ask you about the whip rules, that they're pretty much started, the new whip rules. I just want to ask you one question, Fran. If you knew when you were riding that if you go four above the limit, you're going to lose the race, do you think you ever or any of your colleagues would have done that?
No.
Okay. No, so you don't expect that to happen?
I don't think so. You can often go one over and not realize it in the heat of battle, but you definitely know when you're going two over. And if you go four over, shame on you, as the fellow says. I think, you always push things as far as you can push them. And there's always a day that you will misjudge something, but if you go four over, and why not try out in the day? You know, like you have a panel of stewards there to count for betting purposes for the presentation. You know, what a Cheltenham if.
Could you imagine it?
The winner of the county hurdle or whatever, crack and finish, but we're all counting there. Well, he's gone seven, he's bang on the second, but the winner has gone 11 or 12. But he's going to get the picture. They'll go through the motions, give him a trophy, and the following Thursday we'll throw him out. It's ridiculous.
I can't. It just won't happen, will it? I don't know. Maybe I just can't see a jockey making that many mistakes. As in, but anyway, we'll see what happens. I suppose.
Yeah, I can't see it, and I think back to the forehand use of that is a very good move. The reduction by one is definitely no harm. You know, I can't see it being a big difference. But the disqualification threshold is even too high at four. I think still gives you a chance to go three over the limit against a horse to maybe. Hasn't gone over limit, and I just think two, maybe one, and then throw them out, but do it on the day, whatever you're going to do,
I was in Australia recently. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah, Blake Shin went over, didn't he? Yeah,
it happened, yeah. And the horse was disqualified on the day, Yeah. So it can be done.
And I think it'll happen once, twice, maximum, won't happen again.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, no one would ride a finish a circuit early.
Do you come in and do the Tory leap into the winner's enclosure challenge knowing that you're going to get the picture anyway a bit?
You come into second and you're like, you're told, yeah, your man.
It's not fair on bookmakers or the betting public though. You're paying out a result, you're backing a winner, or you're backing a second that, is going to be disqualified. It's bad enough to back something that fails on a dope test a month later, 2 months later. But to know you're finished second and you're going to get the race in a week's time, but you're not going to get paid, it doesn't add up.
No, but sure, we'll see what happens. It's all betting in now, as the man says. We won't find out until, as you said, the week after whether anyone's done it. And then it's all live pretty much, 2 weeks for Cheltenham or something like that? That's when they go in. Interesting times for jockeys. Keep an eye on those, the number of times you hit your horses. The 7 o'clock at Dundalk is the penultimate race on the card. It is another one of our extra place races. This race over the mile trip. Looking again at probable horses who are going to make the market, I think could be good. Could indeed be good because this horse is rated 55, but this looks an excellent opportunity.
It does, and it's a very poor race for the Grade PK. A lot of horse in this race are out of form. The top one, Hurricane Helen, has snippets of form, and if she gets back to that run in early December behind the Malaysian, that would leave her with every chance of figuring here in the context of this race. Daniel King is big value for a £7 claim. Former praise. Has been working her way back to something like her best form, but is drawn out wide. And I'm happy enough to just watch her on this occasion. Knocked a kill at number four. Loads of chances, maybe back up to mile at Sutton, but he's a long-standing maiden and could be good. Is the form pick a recent winner, very good winner on that occasion to get up and break her back a bit with Miss Abby Jules back in second. This track and trip is his ideal go, and he has a decent record fresh. He is the one you want to back if you're going for current form. I'm going to go back though and take a punt and a selection with number 11. Kabil, trained by Peter Fye. This horse pulled off a big gamble winning at Goran Park in late August, where he made all under Dylan Brown McMonagall. And he was heavily backed in the last minutes leading up to race into favouritism. Hasn't shaped at all badly in a couple of his runs on the all-weather. And his last couple of runs, he's been ridden by a stable apprentice having his first couple of rides. He's got Nathan Cross on here. He's got a good draw in stall 11. And he has, at least on one occasion, the UK ran well in the all-weather. And he's back down to a pound higher than his winning mark, having been £6-7 higher. Just think there's a day in him, and if there's going to be a day in the all weather, it will be over a mile. He's got a low draw and he could be value to take on, could be good here.
Lovely. Peter Fahey, he's making news over jumps recently.
But the big dog.
The big dog indeed. But Cabil on the flat rated 48, and he was 22 in the morning. He won that race at Gordon, went off fours, I think. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on the market for him. That's another extra place race. One more to come in the 7:30. And that is the final race on the card. It is another mile handicap, second division of this one. Again, looking at potential horses to look out for. Miracles in May, Phoenix Open, Almonds for Dirt Weld, and Lee Roach. I haven't seen that pair together for a while. Lee Roach, did we start down Dermot's a long time ago? Long time ago is right.
Yeah, friends reunited, if you like, isn't it? And finish off the evening at Dundalk.
They didn't split by mutual consent then.
I'll have to check Wikipedia about that one. They're back though.
It's all true on Wikipedia. It's all true.
I need to update that actually. Fran was sacked by mutual consent.
That's pretty much what it says anyway.
What wouldn't be the first time actually. So. And Lee is back anyway, so yeah, he obviously repaired a few bridges, and Almonds can only watch that one after a long layoff, but stepping up and Trip on handicap debut again off a base mark 47 is worth to watch PK. But Miracles May, you gave mention number 3, hasn't run since the end of October. I just watched this one with interest and see how it does shape up. Likeable horse, loves the surface, and is back down to mark 60, is of definite interest. Arch Enemy number 2, shaped a mile promise last time as well, keeping on over this Trip, has form over further. And Phoenix Open number 5 is of interest. For all his all weather record, is all not all that strong. His last run was quite good. However, again, there's a standout here, potentially a standout, number 4, Katat, trained by Paul Flynn. Paul's had a really good end and start of the year. He got a few quid with Cheers again, winning pre-Christmas and winning in facile fashion after Christmas again. And I think Katat has the same kind of form lines and unexposed nature in this race as a stable companion. Really good run to maiden here in August when he was fifth to Lascaux's Destiny, and his two runs in handicaps have both shaped a promise. On his second last run, he's an eye catcher over 7 furlongs. He was a definite eye catcher for all. He's beaten 9 1/4 lengths. That was in mid-December. He's got Luke McIntyre back on board. He's down to mark 58. I think there's more to come from this horse. And for me, Katat is the only one I'd like to back in this race.
Could be a nice price, that one. Katat, number 4 in the card, will be a nice price, I'm certain. Okay, that's Dundalk wrapped up. It's now time to get Knapp, Next Best, Aka, Each Way Aka, Yankee, Lucky 63, Hines. Where are we going?
The Knapp is dropping light race 3, no surprise there. I think with the benefit of that run, albeit dropping back down a furling and Trip, hopefully he's a bit sharper than his recent run, but he should be look quite big in the Prairie Ring as well pre-race on that occasion. I think he's very well handicapped in admittedly a trapping off race, but off bottom weight he should go very well. We could do a treble with the maidens if you like. Rockview Consort in race 2, trained by John McCollum. John McCollum should be very hard to beat. Race 5, 29 pounds, trained by Joseph Bryan. An eye catcher in the fog, albeit on debut, should improve, you would think, to beat Zorana, etc. in race 5. And in race 6, of course, News of 10 is trained by Michael O'Callaghan. He should be winning if he relaxes. So the three maidens will stick them together in a treble. The Knapp will be dapple light, and I would give an honourable mention to Katat race 8.
We'll make that the next best. So we go each way in that treble, I suppose. News of 10 may not be in each way.
But they're going to be favourite, second favourite, aren't they? There will be a bit of time and done with the early prices anyway.
So we record Thursday. We're now 12:13. What time did Paddy Power go live with their prices, Fran? You should know.
5:30, is it?
5:30, yeah, on the button. Yeah, yeah. Okay, right. Do you have an alert on your phone saying?
Just keep hitting refresh. Yeah.
You think you'd know someone in here, we could at least give you a nudge. But anyway, right, lovely stuff. That's fantastic. And Fran, thanks very much. You are on Racing TV on Friday afternoon.
I am, yes. With Kevin Ryan back in harness, albeit one-legged. He went off skiing for a week last week. No. And look, tune in for the video. There's actually video evidence of his post fall incident, if you like, but he will be on crutches tomorrow night. And unfortunately for me and his wife Angela, I have to drive him every week now until he gets a little bit more mobile. So yeah, he's buying the Chinese tomorrow night.
So you're Desi.
Mm-hmm.
You're Desi then for the next few weeks.
Not good.
Yeah, it's good for the old January, supposed to be off the booze and stuff like that. But and at least, you know, Kevin won't go off doing other things now while you're live on television. And it's like,
exactly. Unless he gets a mobility scooter or something, he's going to be pretty static for the evening. Yeah.
That would be hilarious. I see him zipping around the ring, watching the horses and giving us updates on the horses. You know, you could just follow him behind on the mobility scooter. A bit of crack. Look, enjoy it. It's great to have you back. Although you've been here the whole time, it's great to be back.
I'm good as always.
Don't forget to listen in on Friday. Rory and Ruby are back. We're looking ahead to the weekend. And of course, we'll be looking ahead to Cheltenham. First one of the Cheltenham countdown coming up Monday. And that we'll be recording Monday. Hopefully be live as part of both the podcast and on the Paddy Power Horse Racing YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to. Because if you don't, Mark Walsh will be out there. He'll come and get you if you don't. Until next week, Fran. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, PK.